So we're going to finish today a four-part series on Noah. And many of you have been giving some feedback on how the Lord has really blessed you and revealed things to you through this series. How many of you have benefited from learning about Noah's life? Anyone in here, you just benefited? Do me a favor. Maybe next week or when you get a chance, maybe through email, you can send a little blurb on what the Lord did for you in the series so that we can celebrate together. Amen. I was going to say put on your Connect card, but you probably already turned in your Connect card. But if you have one, I'd love for you to do that right now. Last week, we learned that God remembered Noah. And it started out with, but God remembered Noah. After the flood came and God, he purified, let's put it that way, he purified the earth from all the devastation, all the sin, all the corruption that was going on. And I want to say this again before I start today's message. It's interesting to me because Jesus says to his followers that before he comes back, his second coming, it will be like the days of Noah. So it's important for us to grab a hold of that. But we learned last week that very important two-word phrase, but God. But God. No matter what we're going through, God can do something great in our lives. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're in right now, whatever circumstance or whatever it may be, God is bigger. And then we also learned that God remembered. So God doesn't forget. And there may be someone in here and you feel forgotten. You feel like, if God, did you overlook me? I'm going through these things in my life and, Lord, don't you see what I'm facing? So there's just things that all of us have to navigate through. God remembered Noah. And then we also learned God said to Noah, come out of the ark. And it speaks to us about, Noah had to take steps as he came out into this new beginning. But it also speaks to us in modern times. You know, God wants to call us out of this place that we've been. First of all, the ark represents Jesus. It represents that God has safeguarded his people. Amen? We learned that. And so we are in this safe place of being a Christ follower, but he does want us to go out and make a difference for his glory. Amen? Noah made a big difference in his world as God brought him out. And so today we're going to be, and I think it's pretty fitting, we're going to be learning about the rainbow. And the rainbow is the covenant promise of God. There was never a beautifully colored bowl after the rain. That's what the rainbow represents. And we're going to see from the narrative exactly what God did as he brought it forth. The rainbow means something today that it never meant when God put it out. And the whole centerpiece of the rainbow today has to do with pride. Pride month. We just went through Pride month. And it represents something that's contradictory to what God meant it to be. And I think it's okay for us to say that as followers of Jesus, that we stand on what God meant for it to be. Because it's not an instrument of pride, but humility. Knowing that God is greater than anything, and God is able with his great power to save, but God is also able to destroy. That's right. There's the wrath of God. And I think a lot of times, especially as modern Christians, we really gravitate toward the grace of God, but we also need to understand that there's a wrath of God. And it's a very justified and very righteous wrath. Amen. He deals with sin. And can I say this? He deals with sin in our lives too. And thank God for that. Because we need to be purged of sin. We need that, some of the things in our life that are toxic to be removed, and they can never be removed without God working in our lives through discipline or through His mercy, so that we're able to deal with those things. So chapter 9, verse 1, here's how it starts. Then God blessed Noah. That's a great way to start, right? Then God blessed Noah and his sons, and he told them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. All the animals of the earth, all the birds of the sky, all the small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the fish in the sea will look on you with fear and terror. I want to pause real quick and just kind of dissect that. Now, remember, the creation account in chapter 1 and 2, when God created the animals, they never had fear and terror toward the man, toward Adam and Eve. There was no fear. But here, there is. So you can realize right away, you can begin to consider that post-flood is different than pre-flood. So pre-flood is the creation account, a perfect Eden, a perfect world, amen? Post-flood, there's already changes. Because the animals had never feared man, okay? And then he said, I have placed them in your power. Verse 3, I have given them to you for food, just as I have given you grain and vegetables. That's another very, very big difference from pre-flood to post-flood. Pre-flood, there was not eating of animals. Post-flood, all the steak eaters said, amen. Thank you, Lord. Vegetarians are saying, ooh. I have given them to you for food just as I have given you grain and vegetables. Verse 4, but you must never eat any meat that still has the lifeblood in it. And you see that throughout the New Testament. You see that's something that was held on to. And I require, verse 5, I require the blood of anyone who takes another person's life. If a wild animal kills a person, it must die. And if anyone who murders a fellow human must die as well. And anyone who murders a fellow human must die as well. That's an important scripture right there, because let's think about Cain, right? Cain killed his brother Abel. Was that pre-flood or post-flood? Pre-flood, right? And God had grace on him. So someone say, thank God for grace. The mark of Cain was a mark of grace. We see that played out right here. If anyone takes a human life, that person's life will also be taken by human hands. For God made human beings in his own image. Now be fruitful and multiply and repopulate the earth. Then God told Noah and his sons, I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants and with all the animals that were on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, every living creature on earth. Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. So that's a promise from God. He's talking about the whole earth. Okay? Then God said, I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures for all generations to come. Does that mean us today? Yeah. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. So just kind of take a step back and say the rainbow is a gift from God. It's not from man, it's from God. So the definition of the rainbow comes from who? From God, not from man. And if man puts a definition on things, we usually get it wrong. When God puts his sign, he gets it right, right? It is a sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send, verse 14, when I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds. It's still true to today. And I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the flood waters destroy, look what it says right there, all life. Flood waters have destroyed some life. Amen? But the promise is it won't destroy all life. Verse 16, when I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature. Then God said to Noah, yes, the rainbow, this rainbow is the sign of the covenant I am confirming with all the creatures on earth. There is so much to unpack right here. So many wonderful things that we're going to find out. And I'm just going to unpack four things, but there's more that you, as you prayerfully read the word, will be able to see as well. Here's the things that I see. Here's my takeaways. So the title is The Rainbow, Finding Hope and Security in God's Promises. Ain't that a great outlook right there? So every time we look at a rainbow, we find the hope and security of the promise of God in the rainbow. And here's my takeaways. The first thing that I find is that there's a blessing. So we can call it the blessing. The blessing. Verse 1, right away, chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah. Does God bless us today? Yeah. God blessed Noah and his sons, and he told them, be fruitful and multiply. So the first blessing, you have a bullet right there. The first blessing that we see, there's three that I can unpack. The first blessing is a blessing with fertility, right? Blessing with fertility. God wanted them to be fertile. God wanted them to procreate. God wanted them to expand, right? God blessed Noah and his sons, and he told them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. That was very important to Noah and his family. They were the only ones who survived, and their legacy would die if they did not have children. And it speaks to me that when we embrace God's purposes and see them through his lens, our children are a God thing. They're a blessing. Amen? I was talking to someone before service, and we were talking about our children. And the brother was telling me how he steps back and he sees how well they're doing and how God's blessing is on them. And how we can hold on to the promises of the Lord from Proverbs. That if we train up and we raise up our children in the way they should go, when they get older, they will not depart from it. I believe that. I hold on to it. No matter how my adult children have behaved at times, no matter what they've done, you know, in teenage years, I hold on to the promise of God more than the visibility of man. Are you with me? The psalmist put it like this. He said, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. How many of you believe that? How many of you own that? You kind of say, you know, they're a blessing to me. They're a gift from the Lord. They're a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. So our kids are a gift, and then their kids are a bonus. They're icing on our birthday cake. Not only is it practical, but I also see a spiritual implication here. I had an earthly dad, an earthly father. His name was John Reese. But I also had a spiritual dad. His name was Bob Cannon. I love both of them very much. I remember walking with my dad John Reese, my biological dad, when I was going to go into ministry. And when I came to faith, of course, it was foreign to them. When I became born again, it was foreign to them. But my dad had an epiphany, and he began to get closer to the Lord. And I'll never forget when I was preparing or thinking about ministry, and I had a conversation with them. And I'll never forget this. We walked down the street in by my house in Lordsburg, New Mexico, and I said, "People are going to make fun of me. They're gonna mock me. They're probably gonna abandon me." That's what I felt in my flesh. And he said to me, "Well, didn't they do the same thing to Jesus?" And I'll never forget that conversation. So my biological dad was very instrumental to me, but then I had a spiritual dad, Bob Cannon, that he just laid a foundation of the Word of God. And he taught me how important the Word of God is and how to believe the Word of God and to test every message, to test everything with the Word of truth. Amen? And so you find that in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, here's Paul talking. And Paul says this, "For even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father, for I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you." And so there are people that come into our life, right? You have a biological dad, and for Noah, it was not only to populate the earth physically, amen? But God wants us not only to populate the earth physically with our children, but he also wants our children and our family to make an impact for his glory. And for us to bring people to faith and for them to populate as children of God. In other words, we should be making a difference for the Lord by bringing people to him, and they can find that he's a good, good father. Amen? And that we need him. Here's what Jesus told his disciples, and I just believe that this kind of fits in that place right there. Jesus came to his disciples, and he said, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Notice that the Father's there. "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, that I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." And so when you make disciples, you're making children of God. That's why it's very important not only to physically procreate, but we should also spiritually be bringing people to the Lord. I'm panning the audience right now. I see Terry Budke, and Terry was teaching the children. She's a wonderful teacher, by the way. She's got a great teaching gift, Terry does, and as well as Chris. And so God used her to be a voice for him to these children, and they were at the edge of their seats listening, and many of them gave their life to Jesus at a young age. Okay, so that's vitally important. So there's a physical application, but there's also the spiritual application. Okay, Noah was also blessed with dominion. Now, this is something that we probably have never really chewed on, but we're going to chew on it today, okay? All the animals of the earth and all the birds of the sky, all the small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the fish in the sea will look on you with fear and terror. I have placed them in your power. What God is telling Noah is, I have put them under your dominion. And as he had blessed Adam, he also blessed Noah. And all the animal kingdom was under their care. The psalmist put it like this in Psalm 36, verse 5 and 6. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. And you care for people and animals alike, O Lord. And just like God cares about people and animals alike, so should we. And we do. And have you noticed that sometimes our pets are easier to like than people? Just saying, I thought I'd just throw that in. We love our pets. We put fish in tanks. We train our dogs and our horses. We put mice in traps. But we train our dogs and our horses, and let me just say this, if they're training you, if your dog's training you, if your horse is training you, Houston, we have a problem. In fact, if they're training you, come talk to me after the service. I have a book that I want you to read. So Noah was blessed with dominion. Now, I want you to remember what we read, how there was a difference that animals were going to have a fear of Noah. Now, this is important because, see, I know I'm talking to someone in here that, especially if you're watching online, some of us in here, we are hunters, right? Some of us are hunters. And some of us in here are gatherers. Hunters and gatherers. And sometimes people have a real hard time if you you talk about hunting and you're like, oh my goodness, you're going to go and you're going to kill those little bitty deer or little bitty huge big elk or whatever it may be. And how can you do that? Let me say something. We don't ever go kill animals. We go hunt animals. And if you've ever hunted animals, you find out it's not that easy. And I'll tell you why. Because of what the scriptures say right here. You know, it says that the Lord, right? The Lord put a fear, right? He said, the fish in the sea will look, and the animals that scurry along the ground, and every bird, they will look on you with fear and terror. This is important for you hunters and those of you that are gatherers, because some of you, you're contemplating here. When you go harvest an animal and you go, come here, animal. Come here, big deer with that really nice rack. The Lord put an internal gauge in them and they run like across mountains. And so as I was reading this, I began to process, that's so God, amen? That's so God, because it's not easy, and God loves animals just like he loves people, but he's given people the ability to manage not only your home, but the land. And it's just a beautiful picture of how good God is. Here's your second takeaway now, the second takeaway of covenant promise. Not only did he give them a blessing, he blessed Noah, but he also, the second thing was he gave them a confirmation. And that's how God operates. God will confirm things twice, three times, so that we know that it's God. Amen. So this helps us when you're going to do something. You say, Lord, I need to know if it's you. Well, he'll give us a confirmation. You don't go off of emotional impulse. You know, you don't go off of just, you know, I'm thinking this. God will confirm things through his word, and God will confirm things through his people, right? And so we read there in verse 8 and through 11, it says, God told Noah and his sons, I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants and with all the animals that were on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, every living creature on earth. I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. Now, the confirmation is proven because in the history of the world, after this happened, it has never happened again. Amen? So it teaches me that God's word is true. I'm going to confirm to you. You're going to find out that I'm faithful, that what I say happens. And we find that not only is God the initiator, right, of the covenant, he's also the one that sustains it, and he's also the one that brings it into completion. Okay, so the Noahic covenant, the covenant with Noah, was a picture that was going to point us to a better covenant, and that better covenant is the new covenant that we have with Jesus Christ. And that new covenant has been confirmed to us through the blood of Christ and through the empty tomb. Are you with me? So God will continually confirm his word to us because he cares. Isaiah put it like this, Isaiah 54, verse 9 and 10. To me, this is like the days of Noah when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. That's God speaking. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. And what God is telling the children of Israel is that no matter that you've strayed, that you've walked away from me, that you've done this, I will stay faithful to who I am, and I will love you through it, and I will always be calling you back. I will always be bringing you back. And that's something we need to know. That the rainbow, you know what it speaks to me? It speaks to me that God is faithful. It speaks to me that God is loving. It speaks to me that God is powerful. It speaks to me the opposite of what people take it to say whenever they don't walk with God. It speaks to me for me not to become prideful, but to be humble. And God confirms it over and over and over again. So here's the third takeaway that I see of the covenant promise that we find in the rainbow. A sign. Let me ask you real quick, what do signs do? Yeah, they direct and they point. They tell you what to do. This is the first sign found in the Bible that points to the covenant, and that God is a covenant God. Let's read it again, verse 12. God said, I'm giving you a sign of my covenant with you and all living creatures for all generations to come. So that means it does, that sign, that covenant sign right there doesn't stop. It's still true for us today. That's important right there, beloved. It's important that you understand that when you see that rainbow, it's still pointing and directing us to the promise of God. You should never look at a rainbow the same again. You should never look at the rainbow and it direct you away from God. It should point you to God. The rainbow directs us to the faithfulness of God and the unfaithfulness of man. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign, my covenant with you in all the earth, and I will send clouds over the earth. The rainbow will appear in the clouds. I wrote this down, and I think it's important for me to say. We must always remember that if we get the rainbow wrong, we get God wrong. That's an important statement. If we get the rainbow wrong, it directs us away from God. If we get the rainbow right, it draws us to God. It ushers God's peace. Are you with me? In the chaos. I love monsoons. But my dogs don't. That's true. My dogs hate the thunder. There's a holy fear that comes on these dogs whenever the monsoons come in, this huge thunder and this huge rain comes. But here's what I know for sure, that, and I have to believe this, that when that rain is done and those clouds are still there and that rainbow appears, I have to believe that my dogs, they look up there and they say, oh, the rainbow finally got here. You know what I mean? Think about it. There's something special that happens with that. There's a great scholar, a great Old Testament scholar. His name is Ken Matthews. He wrote a wonderful commentary on Genesis. And he said it nicely. He said this, and I quote, the sign of the rainbow should elicit in us both awe and thanksgiving. Considering the kindness of God, let me just pause right there and then we'll go on to the quote. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repent. We don't come to God because of his judgment and how hard he is. You're going to go to hell if you don't come to God. That doesn't draw people to God. You know what draws people to God? Is that he loves us very much and he's kind and good. But he also goes on and says his kindness and the sternness of God. What we find in the rainbow is both a, oh my goodness, you're so amazing, God, and oh my goodness, you're so good. Oh my goodness, I don't deserve how good you are to me. Look at all the things that I've done. Look at all the things that I still have problems with. Leonard mentioned that this morning. The things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, those things I have no problem doing. And yet God still loves us. And the rainbow points us to the reality that God loves us and that he's not going to destroy the whole world. I love that the bowl, it's a bowl, and it points us to not only to God's love, but I look at it like this, the bowl, right? This beautiful, the bowl is an instrument of war. If you really start digging deep and just kind of ponder this, right? The bowl is pointed toward God. You notice that? It goes like this, an arch like this, or I could go like this. And it's pointed toward God. Somewhere in that, we possibly God was directing us and showing us that he was going to take that arrow for us when he sent Jesus to the cross. Maybe. We see that when I look at the rainbow, when I'm reading this, I see that bowl that's coming down from heaven. I also see that it's extended to all of humanity. Think about that, beloved. That when it rains on the godly and ungodly. And that same rainbow is revealed to those that walk with God and those that don't walk with God. That's because God cares about people. And he calls us to care about people as well. It also, the array of colors reveals to us the glory of God. The glory of God. He's majestic. And we see this in the prophet Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel in chapter 1, verse 28, this is what he says. He said, I saw one like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down and I heard the voice of one speaking. So not only is the heaven here on earth, but the heaven is in, I mean, the not only is the rainbow here on earth, but the rainbow is also in heaven. And it's in the presence of God, right? And here's my fourth takeaway, the last takeaway that I have of God's promise is God will remember. We talked about it in last week's message. We need to reiterate it again in this week's message. Look at what the word says. I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the floodwaters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth. And then God said to Noah, yes, this rainbow is a sign of the covenant that I am confirming with all the creatures on earth. Not only is this rainbow a sign to point us to God, but in some amazing way, it's a reminder to our loving Father that we need his mercy and his grace. Now, we're going to close with this. This is so good. In Revelation, so we're in Genesis, the beginning. Revelation is the end. And in Revelation, in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it says this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. In other words, glorious. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Now think about this. At the throne in heaven is a rainbow. It's a reminder, not only of the glory of God, but of his love for people. That he loves us, and that when he made a promise, it's there to stay. And he's never going to go back on his promise, and he's going to stand true to it. Beloved, this tells us that in the last days, it'll be like the days of Noah, but thank God for the rainbow. Thank God that we're safe in his hands. Thank God that he cares so much about us, and he wants us to get it right, because when you get it wrong, it leads to immorality and all kinds of sexual sin. Hear me, that's exactly where that leads if you get it wrong. That's exactly where our country is. That's exactly where the world is. You're getting it wrong, it leads to all kinds of immorality and all kinds of sexual sin, and leads you to do things that are completely contrary to God's purposes. But if we get the rainbow right, it leads us to a faithful, faithful Father who's not one that wants to destroy, but he wants to restore. He wants to make your life complete. He wants to change your life for the better, and he can do it because he's God. And so I believe that there's someone here today, someone watching today online, and God is speaking into your life, and he's saying, that rainbow that you've been seeing in this monsoon season, that rainbow that you're seeing is me telling you I love you, and I want to take over your life and help you maneuver what you're going through. You don't have to do life alone. You can walk with the Almighty God directing you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your grace, and thank you for your word that shows us, teaches us exactly what we have in our lives when we see rainbow when we just walk in these covenant promises, Lord. Thank you that you reveal how much you care, and you reveal truth to us. And so I just pray for that person that is here this morning that has maybe felt far from you, that today, Lord, you're extending your hand of grace and mercy to them and saying, come, take a hold of my hand and walk with me, follow me, and I will give you a new life. So I pray for that person as they embrace that. I pray for that person online that maybe you felt lost, maybe you felt like you've made some really bad choices. Again, that hand is lifted to you. It's extended to you right now so that you can take the hand of God and so that he can help you with whatever you're going through. Not only help you, but empower you to overcome, because you will be a victor in Jesus and not one that is defeated. So we pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said amen. And amen.